Appreciate each and every one that's come this way tonight. Just ask everybody to unite, follow the Lord, and do His will. I've got a thought tonight, I guess, possibly adding to my thought from the other night. I guess if I had a title for my message tonight, it'd be Born Once, Die Twice, and Born Twice, Die Once. We preached on the other day about being reborn. We preached on over in the third chapter of the book of John, where Jesus was speaking to a man named Nicodemus, and He was telling him of something that must happen to him, something that goes on, that it's internal, that there, in that teaching, that there is an inward man and that there is an outward man. There's a fleshly body and there's an inward part of us, a soul that's within us, that the Lord looks down. I read from Hebrews 4 and 12, and it tells us that the Lord looks down at the heart, and He looks down and He knows the thoughts and intents of our heart when He's looking down at us. And whether that we have believed or not upon Jesus and His death and His burial and His resurrection, whether we truly believed upon that with all our heart, that something happens to us that causes what the Bible says, that we are reborn because we have believed in Christ. And there is grace that is applied to us when we have believed, when we have truly believed with all of our heart and trusted in the Lord and repented of our sins, and the Lord saves us and applies that grace to us, and we have a peace within us. All these songs that we've sang tonight, you know, they were songs talking about when we die and going to heaven. All the joys and all how good everything's going to be when we get to heaven. You know, I have, as I was talking in my last sermon, we basically spoke about that inward and outward man, and how that the Lord looks at the inside of us, that all the things, the expressions and our clothes and everything, that all our works and everything that we do that's of this flesh, God's not looking at that. He's looking at our hearts. And we're judged by that. But tonight, I want to look at something that the Bible tells about is the second death. I want to look tonight a little bit about the second death. I'm going to take a reading lesson out of the 20th chapter of the book of Revelations. If you will, all those of you that may have your Bibles with you and want to read along. Revelations chapter 20, I'm going to start reading in verse 6 through 15. Starting in verse 6, it says, "Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power. But they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. And when the 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison, and shall go out and deceive the nations which are in the four quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, the number of whom is as the sand of the sea. And they went up upon the breadth of the earth, and compassed the camp of the saints about the beloved city, and fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and all heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. And the sea gave up their dead, which were in it. And death and hell delivered up the dead, which were in them. And they were judged, every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into a lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book was cast into a lake of fire. In this reading here, my main points that I want to focus on tonight, there's a lot of things that can be said about this, but the main thing that I want to try to bring out tonight is basically the second death. Those are my thoughts. Those are the things that the Lord wants me to bring forth. We see over here in the sixth verse where I started reading, blessed is the hope. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power. Now, as I said for my title of my message tonight, born once, die twice. Born twice, die once. I also said that in the beginning that there is an inward man and that there is an outward man. And that is on the inside of us must be saved. It must be born again. It has to be regenerated by the Spirit of God. And that we think about that when it says being born again. Born twice. I want you to consider tonight just being born once and dying twice. Now, in our reading lesson here, it tells us that we're going to die. I believe that when we get on into our reading lesson a little bit, we're going to find out, we're going to look at the word hell. And we're going to see that in some of the scriptures that hell has reference to death or the grave. And hell also has, in different places, references to fire or what we would call the lake of fire. What is mentioned here as the lake of fire is, and it has a reference of, it's called Gehenna. Hades and Gehenna. There's two different meanings to the word of hell that is written in here, but I believe that they both point to the same thing. But you look back in the Old Testament, and the understanding, I believe, of the word hell was it was a state that when your life ended here, when you took your last breath, that you went to the grave. Everybody knew that you went to the grave, that you died, and you went into that grave, and there couldn't be anything else done for you at that point. You were gone. There was a state that your body was in. People think about the bodies, and that's the reason I wanted tonight to try to make sure that people understand that there's an inward man and that there's an outward man. That everybody, even when they die, as this old fleshly body will die, it will go back to the dust that it came from, this old body of flesh, of mine, one of these days it's going to go back to dust. But I have a soul. I have an inward man. And my soul, thank God, tonight has been saved by God's grace. I've had the blood of Christ applied to my heart. I believed and I trusted in Him when I was a young boy, and He saved my soul. And there was something that happened inside of me. I was given a peace and an understanding, a knowledge that I was going to heaven. That Christ was in me. It was an experimental knowledge. It was something that I had to pray to God and I had to ask Him about. But I want you to know that there is an inward man and an outward man. And as this state, you might say, of someone that's dead, that's in the grave, when they're in that grave, they're in a state. And there may be a body in that casket, but their soul is somewhere. See, there's a soul that separates, or that goes with that body that's separated. And I believe that the Bible teaches us that soul is going to be in one or two places. We talk about heaven and hell, that you're going either one or the other place. Now, how are we going to get there? What are we going to do to get there? Well, it's the same way. You've got to be saved. And you've got to be saved before you get into that grave. But there's this second death that it's talking about here. Is a death that when the Lord comes back, and He's going to, that body, it's either going to heaven or hell. The Bible teaches us that we're going to
we're going to be given a glorified body.
Those of us that are going to heaven are going to have a glorified body. That our soul, is, I guess, is the best way I know to put it, is going to be reunited with a body that the Lord gives us when He comes back to go into glory. Because it tells in the Bible that there was not going to be anything wrong with it. There's not going to be any sin.
There's not going to be, it's going to be a perfect body just like Him. And we're going to be united with God in heaven for eternity.
But those that have not believed and trusted in to the saving of their soul in the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they're going to have a different body. They're going to suffer the second death. They're going to suffer the second death. Which, when you think about death, just for a moment, just think about what encompasses death. Most of the time, when we think about death, you know, we think about sorrow. We think about suffering. We think about pain. We think about, you know, so many people nowadays, they die of cancer and they suffer for years and years with it. Or they have ailments of this fleshly body. As this fleshly body breaks down and they suffer with the pains of it as it deteriorates. All these different things that we think about as far as death goes. Well, you know, this second death is just exactly that. It's different than the first, that it's not a separation of soul and body, but it's a state of continual agony. There's going to be a soul and body that is going to be in continuous pain and anguish and agony and suffering for eternity. And the Bible tells us that that the dead, all of them, not just some of them, all those that have not believed, the dead were cast into a lake of fire. Gehenna, hell. The Bible tells us many things about this horrible place. We can turn back over into the Old Testament a little bit. The word Gehenna comes from the word henna. In the Old Testament, it's told about the Valley of Hinnom, or the Valley of the Son of Hinnom. And it was a place where the Israelites went and they worshipped. Actually, they worshipped and sacrificed their children. They burnt them. It was a big fire pit where people would go and offer up their children to Molech, to all these idolatrous gods. They would offer them up and they would burn them in this fire. And it was a place that they kept the fire burning continually. It would burn day and night. And offering up to their gods. They never let that fire go out. It just burned continuously. We can look over into the second chapter, or the second book of Kings, and we can see here in chapter 23, and just in verse 10, we'll look at this verse. And he defiled Topheth, which is the valley of the children of Hinnom, that no man make his son or his daughter to pass through the fire to Molech. So basically, this was telling us here that people were offering up their children. Ain't that something to think? People offering up their children to idolatrous gods, burning them. I was thinking about this thought, and I just want to go ahead and throw this out there. I thought about this today. How many times have we offered our children up to idolatrous gods? Oh, no, we didn't burn them. We didn't throw them in a fire. Many times we don't consider the things that we do that we put before our children as being something that could be an idol to them, that will take them away from God and what they should be focusing on and what they should be doing. But many times, how many times we turn the TV on and tell them to sit there and watch it and be quiet? We let it babysit our kids and we let it babysit us a whole lot. Just different things like that. Anything could be focused, taken away from us and our focus and our thoughts upon God. You know, I'm afraid that we live in a world today that a whole lot of kids in this world is raised by the TV. They're raised by what they see. They live their life by what they see on there and act like by the people that they see on there, rather than acting like they're supposed to. And it's had a major influence on us. I believe with all my heart it's had a major influence on us. But going on from that, we turn on over in the 7th chapter of the book of Jeremiah and read a few verses here. We'll start in verse 23. It says, "But this thing commanded I them, saying, Obey my voice, and I will be your God, and you shall be my people. And walk ye in all the ways that I have commanded you, that it may be well unto you. But they hearkened not, nor inclined their ear, but walked in the counsels and in imaginations of their evil heart, and went backwards and not forwards. Since the day that your fathers came forth out of the land of Egypt, and unto this day I have sent unto you all my servants, the prophets, daily, rising up early and sending them. Yet they hearkened not unto me, nor inclined their ear, but hardened their neck. They did worse than their fathers. Therefore thou shalt speak all these words unto them, but they will not hearken unto thee. Thou shalt also call unto them, but they will not answer thee. But thou shalt say unto them, This is a nation that obeyeth not the voice of the Lord their God, nor receiveth correction. Truth is perished and is cut off from their mouth. Cut off thine hair, O Jerusalem, and cast it away, and take up the lamentation on high priests. For the Lord hath rejected and hath forsaken the generation of his wrath. For the children of Judah have done evil in my sight, saith the Lord. They have set their abominations in the house which is called by my name to pollute it. They have built the high places of Tophet, which is the valley of the son of Hinnom, to burn their sons and their daughters in the fire which I commanded them not. Neither came it into my heart. Therefore, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that it shall be no more called Tophet or the valley of the son of Hinnom, but the valley of slaughter, for they shall bury in Tophet till there be no place." And it goes on here to say, "The carcasses of the people will be meat for the fowls of the heaven and for the beasts of the earth, and none shall fray them," or nobody will frighten them away. You know, it talks plainly here about people in this that have turned away from God and that they're doing all these idolatrous acts. You know, I believe it I read these and I brought these to your attention tonight for a reason, that as we think about this place, we get a mental picture of this place and just exactly what went on there. This fire that just kept burning, that they never ceased it. And then you get over into the New Testament times and the times of where Jesus was walking this earth. The Hinnom was used as basically a garbage dump, where that's a place where they burned their garbage. I mean, it already had a history of all the bad things and the horrible things that went on with it there. But you move on in time a little bit into the time where Christ was alive and walking this earth, and it had become a garbage dump. And it was a place where they took the criminals sometimes, and they would dump those criminals that they had killed, and they would burn them in that pit. It was recognized as a place where the fire never stops. It talks about the worm always being present, which would be for all those that were dead, the maggots, the presence of that. I don't know how many of most of us today we get a garbage pickup. You know, we roll our little trash can out there beside the road, and somebody comes by in a truck. They pick up our garbage and they haul it out. But I remember when I was growing up, we went to the junkyard. That's what we called it. That's a place over in the country that we loaded up our trash and we hauled it over there.
You know, and I don't know if y'all ever done that or not, but when you get over there, you pull in there, it had a distinct aroma about it that lets you know and understand just exactly where you was at. That you was at the junkyard. Because everything that everybody didn't want was cast into that. Well, this vivid picture, I believe, was what the Lord used to try to get people to know and understand. As all those people around, they knew about this place. They knew about Hinnom. They understood and know from customs and from word of mouth just exactly what had went on there. And they had all taken their trash there possibly and dumped it. And so they knew just exactly all about it. And as the Lord tried to teach them, I believe He tried to use this place to paint a picture of what hell was going to be like for those that died and did not believe, that never trusted. An awful place. Over in the 10th chapter of the book of Matthew, verse 28 says, "Fear them not which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear Him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." Soul and body in hell. Gehenna. Lake of fire. Those that will suffer the second death. Those that after they die, you know, I believe with all my heart that when you die, you're judged then. I don't think you got any other opportunity. I believe you're at that point, your soul either goes to heaven or it goes to hell. But the judgment day is going to come. One day the Lord is going to come back. And on that day, the Bible tells us that all the dead in Christ will rise. And all those that are dead, all those that are in the sea, everywhere that somebody has died, that they're going to rise. And they're going to be separated. They're going to be parted to the right and to the left. And all those, even though they're dead, even their body, even though their bodily, their bodies, their fleshly bodies is dead and in the grave, they're going to die again. They're going to die again. They're going to die a second death. And that second death is eternal punishment and torment forever and ever and ever. What a horrible thing, isn't it? I mean, that's a horrible thing to think of and consider. You know, you're already dead. How much worse can it get? Well, it will. It will. And I don't, to be quite honest with you, I don't think anybody can ever have the words to describe just how bad hell's going to be. I know it tells us a lot of things, and I believe it draws a lot of pictures. We all know what fire does and how it burns and how it hurts when it hits our skin. Well, we know that. I just can't imagine all of the horrible things. You know, Jesus told us that the last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. The last enemy. Death is, if you're here and lost tonight, if you're here and lost tonight, if you've never been saved by God's grace, death is your worst enemy. It's your worst enemy. You know, if you've never reached the age of accountability, you know that. Yeah, I mean, you don't feel nothing. You don't feel conviction. You don't feel anything. You know, you're not afraid to die. But if you come to the understanding, if you've reached that age where the Lord showed you that you are lost, that you're separated from an almighty God, death is your worst enemy. See, because you can't escape it. You can't escape it for one thing, and you don't know when it's coming for the other. Those two things. You can't escape it. You don't know when it's coming. See, because we're all going to die. Every man, woman, boy, and girl that walks upon this earth, they're going to die. That's just the way it is. The sentence of sin was death.
And if you haven't been saved by God's grace, it's going to go a little bit further. You'll go to that lake of fire that the Bible speaks about when the Lord comes back to judge His nations. There's a second death that you'll die. That's the reason I said, born once, die twice. If you've never been born again by the grace of God, if you've never been saved, if you've never repented and trusted in your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ to the saving of your soul, then you've never been born again. But if you're born twice, you die once. Apostle Paul tells over in there, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? Death didn't faze him a bit. There's none of us, even those of us that have been saved, I don't think nobody, as the old saying goes, is ready to go. We're not looking to die and leave this world today. But we've got a peace about it. We can know that when it's our time, that death is not going to win the battle. Death didn't win. Satan and death did not win this battle. We have overcome by our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ that supplied the blood to our hearts. Our inward part of us has a seal upon it that we won't see that second death. We won't see that second death. We're blessed if you're here tonight and been saved by God's grace. You're blessed. You're blessed. I was thinking, I just want to end up tonight. I wanted to end up just reading. I've got a lot of verses in here that I could bring forward tonight. Where Jesus talked in here about a place where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. He teaches that, it spoke of several times in here. But there's one particular teaching that is taught in here. And I'm just going to read it. If you're here tonight and lost, just think about this. This is Jesus speaking. In the 16th chapter of the book of Luke, starting in verse 19. There was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus which had laid at his gate full of sores and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked the sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water to cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. Wow. Just that drop. All he wanted was a drop. We all know that's not going to quench a thirst. But all he wanted was, it was so bad there, he just wanted one drop of water. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. And beside all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. Then he said, I pray thee, therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house. For I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. Abraham saith unto him, they have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. And he said, Nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. He said unto them, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. Well, see, there was one rose from the dead. Jesus Christ. He rose from the dead, paid a sin debt for this whole wide world. He was here on this earth. He walked with these people. Did miracles, did great things. All these things were done that they might believe, that they might trust in the only begotten Son of God and seek Him for the salvation of their soul. He said, they won't be persuaded though one rose from the dead. I ask you tonight, I beg you tonight, Jesus has already come. He's sitting on the right hand, Father, right now, looking down, mediator between God and man. He's looking down at the hearts of each one. I'd ask you to consider your situation tonight. Consider your heart. If you're here lost, I've already said death is your worst enemy. Death is your worst enemy. I've tried to, with all my heart, to present to you in clarity the horribleness of just what hell is going to be. I pray that it would have its effects and get your attention, that you might see God tonight and be found. God bless you all. Brother Burton, let's have a song. I will have all to call tonight. If you're here tonight and lost, seek the Lord. That's all I say. Seek the Lord. That He might save your soul.
Let's all stand and turn and pray to the Lord.